Coming in.
Okay. And we're live.
Okay. Okay. We'll wait another just 2 minutes. We'll start at 10:08. It looks like Terrence is trying to access the link. And Tasia, if you can help him on the back end, that would be great.
Yes.
And thank you all for your patience this morning.
And I'm in the midst just as switching over right now.
Okay, great. Perfect. Okay, we will go ahead and get started. Good morning. I will now call to order this joint meeting with the Multnomah and Clackamas County Boards of Commissioners on November 5th, 2025. I'm Multnomah County Commissioner Vince Jones Dixon. The Secretary of State has asked me to chair this morning or chair the meeting this morning. Before we begin, I would like to recognize the work that the late Rep. Hua Huynh championed during her time as a state legislator, a school board member, and a representative of House District 48. As a community, we mourn the loss of Hua as a leader and just an amazing human being. Just for a brief moment, I would like us to pause for a moment of silence just to recognize Representative Huynh's service to our state and the district. Thank you. This meeting is occurring at the time and place designated by the Secretary of State, the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners, and the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners to fill a vacancy in the office of Oregon Legislative Assembly State Representative for House District 48. The Democratic Party of Oregon nominated three candidates for our process today. Thank you each for stepping up, as you all are valued leaders in our community. Our candidates for consideration are Jose Gamero Georgeson, Terrence Hayes, and Lamar Wise. Additionally, I'm joined by Multnomah County Board Clerk Tasia Nelson, who will be assisting in this proceeding this morning. Board Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Yes, I'm sorry, give me 2 seconds.
Good morning, Jenny Madcor, Multnomah County Attorney. I'll step in and help the board clerk. Commissioner Singleton?
Present. Good morning.
Good morning. Commissioner Brim Edwards?
Present. Good morning.
Commissioner Moyer?
Present. Good morning.
Our presiding officer, Mr. Jones Dixon, is here. Chair Vega Peterson?
Good morning. Here.
Commissioner Helm.
Good morning. I'm here.
See you coming up. We see you, Commissioner. We don't hear you yet. Okay, thumbs up.
I'm unmuted.
We hear you now.
Okay.
Commissioner Savas.
Present. Good morning, everyone.
Commissioner Schrader. Commissioner Schrader, I neither see you nor hear you.
I'm here. Good morning.
All right, there you are. Commissioner West.
Good morning, everyone, and I'm present.
Good morning. Your sound's a little choppy, but I'm sure that'll be fixed later just as the internet connection improves. And Clackamas County Chair Roberts.
Present. Good morning.
And Commissioner Jones-Dixon, I think we have everybody. If I missed anybody, please let me know.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, County Attorney. I'd like to give a brief moment for Chair Roberts and Chair Vega-Peterson to share a few brief open introductory remarks. Chair Vega-Peterson, we'll start with you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Oh, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Technology has not been our friend this morning.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Chair. Okay, good. As long as you can hear me, I'll keep going. Thank you. So I just wanted to use my remarks this morning to take a moment to acknowledge the deep loss our community has felt with the passing of Representative Hua Huynh. And thank you, Commissioner Jones-Dixon, for acknowledging her. I have had the pleasure of working with her as a East Portland elected myself, when she was an East County resident, when she was a candidate for David Douglas School Board, when she was on the school board, when she was a candidate for state representative, and then as a fellow elected official when she was in the legislature. And she has always had such a passion fighting for her community in East Portland, fighting for youth, fighting for access to education, and truly representing her district in a genuine way that gave voice to the people in her community that didn't traditionally have a voice, and just really being the epitome of a champion. And so I really see that the seat that we fill today, it represents more than an elected position. It represents trust, service, and continuity. And we know that no one can replace Representative Wim. We can honor her legacy by ensuring that that work continues, that the voices of this community are still heard, and that the values championed remain at the center of what we carry forward. So I really look forward to our discussion today as we consider who is next to carry forward the voices, strength, and opportunities for House District 48.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair Vega-Peterson. Chair Roberts.
Well, good morning, everyone, again. And I really want to echo some of the comments already made by Chair Peterson, Commissioner Jones-Dixon. And it really relates to, on these appointments, they're never easy. Sometimes these vacancies happen because legislators move on to a new appointment, and good for them. Sometimes, like this one, it's a legislator has passed away. With that, I also just want to recognize the traction of law, Representative Hua Huynh, really extending our thanks to her family for commitment to public service. I also want to give a shout out and a thanks to Multnomah County for the organization and planning that goes into this process. And thank you. And then also extending my thanks to all the candidates stepping up to help serve our community. Again, thank you very much. And it's an opportunity. Sincere honor to be here this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Roberts. It was a little muffled with the mic, but I think the majority of the sentiments came through. Thank you. Thank you both for your comments. At this time, we'll have a time for public comment. We will open the meeting for public comments directly following the public comments. I will explain the procedure for the rest of our meeting. Tasia, we are now ready for public comment. Are you prepared to take the meeting from here?
Yes. This is a time for the boards to hear public testimony, not deliberation. When it is your turn to speak, I will call your name and unmute you. I will set a timer for 2 minutes. When you begin speaking, announce when your time is up, at which point, please wrap up your sentence. I'm going to start with Councillor Koyama Lane. Councillor Lane, you can unmute yourself and begin. Councillor Lane. I'm not hearing from her, so I'm gonna jump to the next person and we'll circle back, which is Timur Ender. Timur, you can unmute yourself.
Hello, test, test, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Timur Ender and I live in East Portland. It's difficult to quantify the impact to East County of losing Representative Wah Nguyen. She gave 200% of herself to East County by, among other things, being a state representative in one of the most competitive districts in Oregon. She was all in for her community. While Representative Nguyen cannot be replaced, what we can do today is appoint someone who unapologetically shares her commitment to education, care, equity, and community. That person is Jose. Jose is everywhere. Over the years, I've seen him show up at EPAT picnics, East Portland Action Plan, my kids' elementary school, Sustainability Commission, neighborhood associations, and a broad range of community events. He does this not because he's running for elected office, but because he genuinely cares about our schools, neighborhood, and East County. As a parent, I've greatly appreciated having Jose on the David Douglas School Board where he served alongside Wah Nguyen. Jose has been a voice for our kids who are often left out of policy discussions. When I vote, I don't vote for myself. I vote for my kids. I evaluate candidates on who I think will best meet the needs of my two young daughters. Jose's track record, values, and experience make him the best positioned to fight for our district, to protect the policy wins we have achieved, and to carry on the legacy of Wah Nguyen. Jose is the only candidate who has earned the support of voters to hold elected office in East Portland. As we think about who we are appointing to serve in one of the most competitive House districts in Oregon, we need every advantage we can get. Jose has ran and won in East County and is best positioned to run and win in House District 48. His efforts are a testament to why PCPs ranked Jose number one at the nominating convention. In conclusion, Jose's values and track record make him the person who is best positioned to carry on Rep. Wah Nguyen's legacy. He has held elected office in East Portland. And finally, he shows up in community and reflects the incredible diversity of North Clackamas and East County. It would be a privilege to have him represent my kids and all of our kids in the state legislature. I kindly ask that you vote to appoint Jose for House District 48. Thank you.
Next, we have Jenny Olson. Jenny, you can unmute yourself and begin.
Hello. Thank you. Multnomah and Clackamas County Commissioners, thank you for allowing me to provide testimony in support of appointing Mr. Lamar Wise to represent House District 48 in the Oregon House of Representatives. Again, my name is Jenny Olson, and I serve as the president of AFSCME Local 328 at OHSU. Over the past 2 years, I have had the pleasure and honor to work closely with Mr. Wise. Our local represents over 8,000 employees who work in over 300 classifications in all three missions of OHSU. Mr. Wise has successfully advocated for the interests of our broad membership, from safety for healthcare workers, defending workers' jobs at the Oregon National Primate Research Center, safe staffing levels for hospital workers, and improvements for behavioral health workers. Mr. Wise's work speaks for itself. He is a tireless advocate for the working class and their families and boasts an impressive track record of success. The state of Oregon is at a critical juncture. We face enormous obstacles in many respects, but perhaps the most important is the challenge of the budget deficit caused by H.R. 1. As president of my local, it is absolutely critical that the appointed representative of House District 48 is able to successfully bridge the funding gap. It simply is not a time to learn on the job, as the lives of our patients, the livelihoods of our members, and our community depend on it. I wholeheartedly endorse Mr. Wise, as I know from personal experience that he has the skills and the fortitude to continue delivering legislative results that we depend on. Thank you.
Sorry, I was on mute. Next, we have Steph Routh. Steph, you can unmute yourself and begin.
Hello, is this working?
Yes.
Okay, great. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Steph Routh, and I have been a proud East County resident for the majority of my life. It is my joy this morning to support the right candidate to represent Oregon House District 48, and that candidate is Jose Gamero Georgeson. I've heard a few of you say that this is a very difficult choice. Luckily, you don't have to choose alone. Jose was ranked number one choice during the recent nominating convention. It wasn't even close. He is also the only candidate who has been elected by voters in this district, currently serving as an elected leader on the David Douglas School Board. Many people in this district have already chosen Jose Gamero Georgeson to represent them. That is why I feel this is an easy choice to make today. But it doesn't cover all of why I believe Jose is the right candidate. Like many, I am actively grieving the loss of our friend, Rep. Hua Wen. It's so important that we honor Hua's legacy with this appointment. Sure, Jose served on the David Douglas School Board with Hua and has similar priority issues such as education and meeting our housing crisis. But what made Rep. Hua a remarkable representative for House District 48, a vibrant, incredibly diverse district in many ways, demographically and ideologically, was how she listened to people, how she earnestly, honestly struggled with issues. I see the same commitment to listening to all sides of an issue from Jose, and that is evident from the fact that in every committee or board or commission he has served on, across the ideological spectrum, his peers choose him to serve as leadership. As co-chair of the Government Transition Advisory Committee to incoming president-elect of the OSBA, he is an honest broker of tough decisions. That is why he is the ideal candidate to continue Hua's legacy. So please choose the person who deeply listens and struggles with difficult topics. Please ratify the will of voters and PCPs. So please appoint Jose Gamero Georgeson to represent House District 48. Thank you.
Next, we have Chris Waller. Chris, you can unmute yourself and begin.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Chris Waller from Jennings Lodge in Clackamas County. Some of you may know me as the chair of the Clackamas County Democrats, although today I am speaking for myself. As you may know, the voting members of our Democratic Party are our precinct committee people, or PCPs. These are people who are committed to civic engagement, who are knowledgeable about the issues in their district, and who care deeply about their neighborhood and who best represents their values and will work for the benefit of everyone in their district. The PCPs of House District 48 overwhelmingly chose Jose as that person. Jose has the boots on the ground knowledge and the established community trust needed to represent this vibrant, diverse district. His experiences as an immigrant and a person of color reflect those of many of the residents. He's in a unique position to understand the needs of his community and to address them. Over the years I have known Jose, I've seen him working again and again to support the rights of all people. He's been a passionate voice for so many whose voices may not often be heard in our society. There's a reason that so many community leaders and organizations, East County Rising, APANO, the Mother Pack, and more, all have endorsed Jose. He's been out there doing the work, and he will continue to do so as the representative for House District 48. I urge you to appoint him to this position. Thank you.
Next, we have Odalis Aguilar. Odalis, you can unmute yourself and begin.
Hi. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Good morning, Chair and members of the Multnomah and Clackamas Commissions. For the record, my name is Odalis Aguilar Aguilar, and I'm a political coordinator with Oregon AFSCME. I'm here this morning to urge this body to appoint Lamora Wise to represent House District 48 in the Oregon House of Representatives. I grew up in House District 48 and attended David Douglas from first through my freshman year of high school. And while I currently do not reside in HD 48 anymore, I'm witness to the great work previous legislators have done to ensure that House District 48 is a safe place where people can call home. I remember the day that I met Hua Wen. At the time, I was working for an organization dedicated to building power in our community for BIPOC, young folks, and LGBT folks. She participated in workshops, in educational workshops on running for local government. She wanted to learn the good, the bad, and the ugly about running. And that's where I quickly noticed her desire to serve her community. She brought so much light into each space, as folks have already mentioned, and we know that she led with her heart. But I also remember the day that I met Lamar when I was a freshman in college. And our first interaction was about why grassroots organizing is important and why building strong communities and educating our peers is the key to change. Since the day I met him, I've seen the strong leadership and coalition skills Lamar has and brings to the table, ensuring that everyone's voice is heard in whatever space that he's in. He's been a tireless advocate for families in this district and has worked on fighting to support workers as an advocate for AFSCME, but also serving on the Portland Independent District Commission and ensuring East Portlanders finally got a much needed voice on our city council. As Oregon and the entire nation go into unpredictable times, now more than ever, we need experienced leaders who are ready to tackle issues our communities are facing. Oregon is facing a nearly $1 billion shortfall, and House District 48 needs someone who can quickly respond to the ever-changing political landscape. Someone who's a dynamic leader and a team player at the same time. Lamar has shown himself to be an effective advocate on issues facing the district. I'm confident that he will do a great job, and I urge your support to appointing Lamar to House District 48. Thank you.
Next, we have Dion Salazar. Dion, you can unmute yourself and begin.
Thank you, commissioners, for this opportunity.
Dion? It looks like you were available, but you cut out.
Oh, okay. I was reading the thing I had written.
Oh, you're... Dion?
Wait. So the video will probably cut out if I'm reading the thing that I'm written. Was the sound still available?
No, it wasn't.
I want to remind you county commissioners that one of the candidates, Lamar Wise, moved back into the district and re-registered his voter address in June or July, this year, according to county election records. I have sent this to the Secretary of State, and they have informed me that it is not up to their jurisdiction. Even though the Oregon Constitution Article 4, Section 8, Part 7A, states that someone has to be residing in the district, as in living there, for at least 1 year prior to the appointment process. Now, beyond that, I urge you to appoint Terrence Hayes, because he is the person who can unite progressives, moderates, and other types of voters in order to build a true coalition for change. He is a true leader who represents independence, grit, and determination. Working with him to work on East Portland's issues has been the honor of my life. He has demonstrated an ability to understand the needs of affordability of many East Portlanders, in particular, the needs for safety and what the needs of people of color need. He is an incarcerated person, and so he actually has a good degree of lived experience. I know Hua Wen. She's my old former middle school administrator. She eventually served on David Douglas School Board where I went to high school. She's someone who I have deep respect for, and I'm currently mourning. I can think of no better person than Terrence Hayes to fill this position. Thank you.
Next, we have Calico Castile. Calico, you can unmute yourself and begin.
Hello and good afternoon, good morning, everyone. My name is Calico Castile. I am the Politics, Policy, Advocacy, and Civic Engagement Director at Apano Action Fund, one of the longest standing culturally specific C4s in the state and the only Asian-led C4. I'm here today in support of the appointment of Jose Gamero-Georgeson to fill the HD 48 legislative seat. Our sister organization, Epano Communities United Fund, represents the Asian American community, and many of our members are located in East Portland, specifically in HD 48. And with the passing of Representative Hua Wen, we believe we need a leader rooted in this district who will continue her legacy of care, equity, and community. Epano Action Fund is happy to endorse Jose as someone who leads with love and compassion for his region and his neighbors. And we believe that his experience on the David Douglas School Board, as well as his recent election to lead the Oregon School Board Association, proves that he is able to work across the ideological spectrum to build a better tomorrow. We also believe that Jose's lived experience will allow him to best represent all of the voters in HD 48, including communities too often left behind. Mahalo for your consideration of this appointment, and Epano Action Fund encourages you to vote for Jose Gamero Georgeson for the HD 48 appointment. Thank you so much for your time.
Next up is Johnny Earl. Johnny, you can unmute yourself and begin. Johnny, I sent you an unmute request. I'm going to circle back to Johnny, and we're going to move to Althea Ender. Althea, you can unmute yourself and begin.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Althea Ender, and I serve as a director on the David Douglas School Board. The following statements are my personal views and not made on behalf of the school board. I'm speaking today in support of my board colleague, Jose Gamera Georgeson. I wish we were not here, that there was no vacancy to be filled. We do not get that choice. But at this moment, you do have a choice to honor the will of the voters. I served alongside both Juan and Jose. Jose is a champion of our schools and our neighborhoods. Jose is humble and courageous. Jose has a grassroots team behind him. Our school districts have directly benefited from the dual service of an active school board member and serving and one who and a person who is serving in the House district. What a gift. And we need that kind of champion for our schools in the House now more than ever. I hope that the national election results of last night make it clear that this is a time to respect the choice of the voters, to believe in the possible, to vote our values. I thank you for your service and urge you to appoint Jose Gamera Georgeson for the House District 48.
Next, we have Fred Youngbluth. Fred, you can unmute yourself and begin.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Fred Youngbluth. I am a resident of Happy Valley and the proud president of Oregon AFSCME. And I'm here today to enthusiastically recommend Lamar Wise for appointment to House District 48. The decision requires choosing a representative who can hit the ground running, bringing not just passion, but a practical in-depth understanding of how government works. Lamar Wise is that rare candidate. Lamar's professional background is exactly what House District 48 needs right now. As a former policy director for one of Oregon's largest public employee unions, or the current, director, he spent years navigating the complexity of the state capitol, crafting budgets, negotiating high-end stakes legislation, and finding compromise where others couldn't. He doesn't just know the issues, he understands the legislative process, the budget limitations, and the mechanisms required to transform a good idea into effective state law. He is uniquely prepared to represent us from day one, ensuring that our district's needs are met with strategic, durable policy solutions. This policy expertise is directly tied to his dedication to two of our district's most critical challenges, education and behavioral health. In education, Lamar's work on the Student Success Act demonstrates his commitment to our schools. He understands that fully funding our classroom, addressing chronic absenteeism, and ensuring every student, especially those in special education programs, has the resources they deserve, and that's paramount. Similarly, his years of experience successfully advocating for the increased funding of behavioral health are unmatched. He knows improving behavioral health crisis requires more than just conversation. It requires protecting mental health and addiction treatment funding from cuts. I urge you to appoint Lamar Wise as our next state representative for House District 48.
Next, we have Sonia McKenzie. Sonia, you can unmute yourself and begin.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful, thank you. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Sonia McKenzie. I am the former president of the Oregon School Board Association and a former director on the Park Rose Board of Education and a proud resident of East County. I'm here to speaking to you this morning to urge you to appoint Jose Gomero Gorgeson for House District 48. This process is an appointment to replace a well-beloved and an accomplished legislator, my dear friend and colleague, Hua Nguyen, who I'm mourning. This is also an opportunity to honor her work and her legacy. Jose is the best candidate for many reasons. He has the knowledge, elected experience, and ability on day one to continue the work for House District 48. I could share many more attributes, but I will simply say this. A year ago, after 8 years of service at the local, regional, and state level, I wanted to find a successor for my work on the Oregon School Board Association. And after time spent and discussing with Jose, he was the first and only choice to carry, protect, and move that important work forward. And I'm proud to say he has taken up that mantle at the regional and state level and is a future leader, educational leader for our state. I have full confidence in his ability to do the same for House District 48, to honor Juan's legacy and continue her work for House District 48. These are very challenging times, and many of us are grieving the loss of our dear friend gone too soon. Please honor her legacy of service and appoint Jose, who as a former colleague of Juan, will carry on her work for House District 48. What Juan accomplished, he will honor and protect it. What Juan started, he will finish it. What Juan aspire to do, he will bring it forward. Thank you for your time.
Next, we have River Scholl. River, you can unmute yourself and begin.
Hello, and thank you, commissioners. I am here. I want to acknowledge that you all have a very difficult choice here. I know because I face the very same choice as a part of the Mother Pack, as well as one of the PCPs for House District 48. In doing so, while I was divided initially, I found myself deeply moved by Jose Gomero Gorgeson. As a disability rights advocate and as a mother to some very queer, wonderful children, I know that Jose will be able to speak on behalf of my family, but not only that, be able to listen. His experience, his activism, his engagement, and his understanding is unlike anything I've really seen from politicians. It is grounded in a lived reality and compassion that I, in my very bitter old age here, have not seen very much of. He understands things that I feel like so many politicians can't see. And right now, especially in House District 48, we really need an advocate that understands what we are going through, why we are afraid, and what we hope and dream for when it comes to things like healthcare and housing and safety. So thank you for your time. And I really do beg you to get Jose Gomero Gorgeson for House District 48. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to circle back to Councillor Koyama Lane. Councillor Lane, can you unmute yourself?
And Board Clerk, I'm just going to jump in real quick. We're running a little behind, and Vice President Koyama Lane, just wanted, if you could just limit your remarks and the remarks moving forward to just 1 minute and then submit your written remarks as well. That would be extremely, that would be helpful. Thank you so much. The floor is yours.
Good morning, commissioners. For the record, my name is Tiffany Koyama-Lane. I'm a mom, public school teacher, proud union member, currently the vice president of the Portland City Council here in my personal capacity. Want to take a moment to acknowledge WA. We first crossed paths when she was supporting my students as an attendance coach at Sunnyside Environmental School. Today, I'm here to speak in strong support of Jose Gamero-Jorchin for the HD 48 appointment. I want to start with highlighting Jose's work on the City of Portland's Government Transition Advisory Committee and the chair. As the chair of the governance committee, I can say that his work certainly has benefited our city and has been a foundation that we've built upon. And his leadership on that committee really stood out. He took on some of the hardest parts of that process, diving into uncertainty, helping people of very different viewpoints come together, thinking deeply about how to make our new system work for everyone. And he was asked to serve as co-chair when he didn't just facilitate meetings, he worked on building trust, collaboration, when people didn't always agree. That's exactly the kind of thoughtful bridge building leadership we need in Salem. Someone who listens, willing to wrestle with complexity and put the community first. Thank you for your time. And directly to Jose, I'm so proud to know you and support you.
Hey, and one last call for Johnny Earl. Johnny, can you unmute yourself?
Yes, hi, I'm Johnny Earl. I'm president of SEIU 503. I'm here today to urge that this council appoint Lamar Wise to represent House District 48 in our Oregon House of Representatives. Lamar has been a tireless advocate for working families from his district, from fighting to support workers and advocate for AFME, to serving Portland's Independent District Commission and ensuring East Portlanders finally get a much needed voice on City Council. During my time as a staff member of the University of Oregon many years ago, I saw Lamar make a difference and advocate for all the students. With looming budget deficits caused by HR 1, we need someone who could come into the legislature and fill the budget gap during his short session. Lamar is the only candidate who has real experience successfully passing bills in our state legislature. This is critical. In order to successfully represent House District 48, we need someone who can advocate to get back to work and deliver our district one day at a time. SEIU members who represent 70,000 workers in the state are truly counting on Lamar and his creative solutions for these
times. Okay, that concludes the public testimony.
Thank you. Thank you, Tasia. And thank you to all the members of public who spoke or wrote in. In addition to the in-person testimony, we received over 80 written comments, each of which were shared with the commissioners of the boards. The board members this morning. I will now explain the procedures for this meeting and will then ask for a motion to adopt the procedures. Each candidate will have the opportunity to make an opening statement. Once opening statements are complete, I may call for a brief recess as needed. Following their introductions, each commissioner will have the opportunity to ask one question of the candidates. Candidates will have 1 minute to respond. After the questions are all asked, each candidate will have 2 minutes to provide a closing statement. The boards will then deliberate and take preliminary votes until we identify one nominee with plurality of votes. A plurality of votes means the most votes. Therefore, if nobody receives the most votes, we will continue to deliberate and take preliminary votes. Once we identify a nominee that receives a plurality of votes, we can move forward with the appointment. In accordance with ORS 171.062 and based on the number of registered electors, each Clackamas County Commissioner is allotted 2.6 votes and each Multnomah County Commissioner is allotted 6.8 votes. If for any reason a County Commissioner is unable to attend this meeting, that Commissioner's vote will not be cast. May I have a motion to adopt these procedures?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Singleton, seconded by Chair Vega Peterson. Any questions or discussions on the motion? All right. Tasia, can we take a roll call vote, please? Or Jenny Madcore?
Commissioner Singleton?
Yes.
Commissioner Brim Edwards?
Yes.
Commissioner Moyer?
Yes.
Commissioner Jones-Dixon?
Yes.
Chair Vega Peterson?
Yes.
Commissioner Helm?
Aye.
Commissioner Savas?
Aye.
Commissioner Schrader?
Aye.
Commissioner West?
Aye.
Chair Roberts.
Aye.
Okay. The procedures are adopted. We will now move on to opening statements from our candidates. Each candidate will provide a two-minute opening statement. We are proceeding in alphabetical order by last name, so we'll begin with Jose Camero Georgensen. Welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner and guest. My name is Jose Camero Georgensen, and it's an honor to be up here today as a seeker appointment to represent House District 48 and continue the work of my friend, the late Representative Hua Wen. I was proud to have Hua represent me and my community. She was a shining example of leadership. She fought for so many issues that were important to us. And if appointed, I will respect Hua's legacy and the will of the voters who elected her by focusing on some of the issues that matter most to her. Education, battling chronic absenteeism, and raising the special education cap. Programs that help folks get into housing, expanding access to mental health services. But I also have my own priorities, exploring a better revenue model for our state. We won't be able to accomplish anything unless we have a more consistent, dependable revenue stream where most of us pay less in taxes. In a world that is less and less affordable, we need to help where we can. Most importantly, though, I want to help fight for sanctuary status, to strengthen privacy protections, and to let our immigrant neighbors know that Oregon not only wants them here, but is ready to stand up and fight for them. This fight is personal for me. I am an immigrant. I see the fear in my community and I remember that fear. I know that we cannot simply wait for the next thing to happen. We must act now. The time of threats has passed, and we are now in a time of real and immediate danger. We're under violent attack by our own federal government, and we must protect each other. Right now, it's more important than ever to have the voices of immigrants at the table, voices like mine. None of these priorities can be accomplished alone. I have a track record of building coalitions and consensus in my work, from uniting different voices under a shared goal on Portland's Government Transition Advisory Committee, to working with rural school boards as the incoming president-elect of the Oregon School Boards Association. As House Representative, I would build coalitions inside the building and with incredible diverse communities of HD 48. I know all this is a tall order, but the current time calls on us to be bold. We must work closely together. If we work together, we can accomplish so much more. Together, we are stronger. Thank you.
Great, thank you. We'll go with Terrence Hayes. And Tasia, if we can put the timer up as well, that'd be great. Thank you. Terrence? We will move on to Lamar Wise.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Lamar Wise, and I'm running to be the appointee for House District 48. For folks who don't know me, my foundation has always been family. My dad is a pastor and an engineer at Intel. My mom owns a small catering business and is also a full-time caregiver for my granny. They taught me to always love yourself and to love your neighbor. I'm running because I love my community, and I'm tired of seeing government fall short of its potential. I'm running because I'm the experienced leader who can hit the ground running on day one. In my 10 years of advocacy, I've passed dozens of bills to support working families and secure millions of dollars for our critical services that our district relies on. Our district is below the statewide median annual salary, meaning that we experience income inequality and struggle with affordability. And I know what that's like. I've been on SNAP, I've had to couch surf, and I've seen my bank account in negatives, experiences that the residents of our district endure every day. I'm running so that the people most impacted by these inequities have a real opportunity to live a life with dignity, respect, and prosperity. I will work to bring this district together through a strong economic agenda, one that centers expanding housing options and uplifts economic development. As a former education advocate, I'm committed to carrying forward the late Representative Hua Wen's legacy. She anchored the issue of chronic absenteeism and also access to special education. Our office will do the same. I also firmly believe that until we I also firmly believe that until we ensure that we are getting access to addiction treatment and making it as easy as getting a fentanyl pill from off the street, we will continue to fail Oregonians. This is why, as labor advocate, I've worked to secure funding for the United We Heal program. There's a behavioral health training trust to expand our workforce and increase access to services. I hope that you all will join me in moving House District 48 forward. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Lamar. We'll check with for Terrence once more. Okay. Hope everything's okay. Again, thank you all. We will now move to questions prepared by the board. Each commissioner will have the opportunity to ask one question. Each candidate will have 1 minute to respond. We will proceed with questions in order of commission position number, with the exception of the chairs of each county. We will begin in this order, Commissioner Moyer, followed by Commissioner Savas, then Commissioner Singleton, followed by Commissioner Schrader, then Commissioner Brim Edwards, then Commissioner Helm, then myself, then Commissioner West, and then Chair Vigga Peterson, and then Chair Roberts. We will begin with Commissioner Moyer. First question directed towards Lamar Wise. I'm sorry, Commissioner Moyer. Looks like we have one question from Commissioner Savas.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, Chair. I just want to just know or verify that someone's trying to reach out to the other candidate who we have not heard from yet. I can see him in the participants list, so I don't know if there's a technical issue, but I just want to know that there's someone's pursuing that.
I've sent him a text message.
Okay. Thank you.
He just told me he's been trying to get in. So I don't know where he's at, but he's been trying to get in.
Maybe we should pause for a minute, just try and work it out just so that.
Yeah, we will take a 4 minute recess and come back at 10:57 or 10:58.
And it looks like he just sent a message, Commissioner Jones Dixon, in the chat.
I see that. So we'll go on recess until 10:58 and we'll reconvene. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Terrence, were you able to log in?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Let me add you back to the meeting. Okay. Okay. All right, I'll let everyone know you were able to join. I think we're going to recess for one more minute, okay. One or two more minutes, Terrence, just hang tight.
Okay, thank you so much for working through this with me.
Of course.
All right. I will invite everyone to come back, and we will bring the meeting back to order at 10:58.
So have we been able to fix the problem yet? Do we know?
Yes, Terrence is in the meeting now.
Okay, good.
Perfect. Yeah, that's the theme. The time now is 10:58. I will call us back to order, and I'll wait till I see everyone on the screen. And in good old House District 48 fashion, we are putting things together. We're pressing through. Okay, great. Time now is 10:58. I'll call the meeting back to order. We are in the process of hearing opening statements from our three candidates. Terrence Hayes, the floor is yours. Welcome.
Thank you so much, guys. And I apologize, and even to you, Lamar, for you having to go out of order there. Guys, thank you so much for your patience. I'll make this as brief as possible, seeing that I've already caused a little bit of chaos here. Again, my name is Terrence Hayes. When I ran for city council last year, I ran on a platform that our city could be a safe, clean, and affordable city. And I think that still applies to the needs of House District 48. One of the priorities that we all agree on as we split counties is the safety and the need for public safety in this district. I'm a formerly incarcerated individual. I lost a cousin to police violence, as well as I'm an advocate for police reform and community, the reconnection of community and our policing. I have lived a life that is dedicated to take my lived experience, my pain, my trauma, and rebuild healthy relationships. And those relationships have led to things that have made our community safer. I hire formerly incarcerated people. We talk about community and lived experience. That has been my life. I don't come from the same legacy as a lot of folks when it comes to politicians, but I do come to politics, but I do bring community. And the heart of our community in this district is a safe community, an affordable community. My business resides in this district. It feeds the families in this district, and it is committed to bringing work. And I would bring that same commitment to legislation. I know that we need to focus on infrastructure build out. We need to focus on the relationship between community and government. And I, as a government contractor, as a labor contractor in Local 48, I understand the value of those relationships and how essential it is for community to be able to afford their housing, right? We always talk about affordable housing, but we rarely talk about the need to get a paycheck that can actually afford the housing in our district, in our cities, and in our communities. We are at a point where we're noticing students, our young people are transitioning from high school into a workforce, and they are ill-prepared. They are not ready. I want to make sure that we are bringing the resources needed into our schools to transition young people into a workforce so that they are not struggling, so they are not afraid, and that college is not the only option for them.
Time.
Thank you guys very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Terrence. We will move on to the questions from the commissioners. And as stated before, we will begin with Commissioner Moyer. And Terrence, you are first up, followed by Lamar, and then Jose.
Okay.
Thank you. I wanted to ask a question that I had the opportunity to work closely with Representative Nguyen and it was a valued part of my relationship with her, and that has to do with defending Multnomah County's Preschool for All program. At the end of last session, the governor and a handful of legislators from this area led an effort to kill the tax that funds Preschool for All, a voter-approved universal pre-K program in Multnomah County. Representative Nguyen strongly stood up for PFA and was a leader in pushing back. How do you plan to defend the voter-approved Preschool for All program?
Thank you for that question, Commissioner. I think that as a whole, our community has made it clear that we need Preschool for All. What I would do is I would remind legislation that it is everyday people. It is the mothers, it is the fathers, it is the single parents that work with them, that vote for them every day and that work in our community that this program helps the most. We have to make sure that we find the financial ability to sustain it, that we make sure that it is doing the thing in community that it needs to do. But I would definitely make sure that community members are bringing their voice to that conversation and that legislators are reminded that it is not about them. It is about the hardworking people in our district that need their children to be safe and present and taken care of during those times. Thank you.
Thank you. Terrence Lamar.
Yeah, thank you for the question. To be very clear, I was a hell no for touching Preschool for All. I believe that it is an important economic pillar for the district and for Multnomah County as a whole. And so, you know, when we talk about Preschool for All and its access, I represent the workers that administer that program and also the childcare workers who are doing the work on the ground to make sure that that we are taking care of our kids. At the end of the day, we need a strong coalition to continue to defend against attacks. And it is with that strong coalition that I think we're able to stave attacks off. But we'll need to continue those efforts up. And when in office, I will make sure to continue that energy and also make sure that we are bringing voices from that coalition, whether it be provided themselves or the folks who utilize the program. They need to be at the forefront, and so do the voters.
Thank you, Lamar. Jose.
Thank you. Preschool for All is near to me. I have a little one who turns 4 in December, who started in his Preschool for All classroom just a month ago. So I know the importance of this project, this whole program. When it started getting attacked, I was the first one to contact my school district, find out who we could partner with, start contacting legislators to try to protect it. I didn't just say it was for it, I actually did the work to try to protect it. And we need to continue because they have shown over and over that children that go through early education and pre-K do better. We're always talking about educational outcomes in our state. Why aren't we looking at ways that are different? Why are we trying to expand Preschool for All for everyone? Also, it helps our economy. most families can't afford to send their children to pre-K. So when we allow families to make that choice and be able to send them to preschool for free and go enter the workforce, they've shown that those dollars go right back to our economy.
Thank you. Thank you, Jose. Commissioner Savas, you're up for question two. And we'll start with Lamar and then go to Jose and then Terrence.
Thank you. I first want to just say that I met Hua Nguyen when she first ran, so I got to know her very well. I just want to just say a few words that just to recognize her passion for her work. She was a very a beautiful person, and she was very engaged in her community. So I would like to see that legacy move forward. One of the things that we worked together on was the Sunrise Corridor project. It's both a community project. It's about jobs, it's about housing, it's about transit, it's about safety in our community and transportation. So the Sunrise Corridor is Highway 212, which runs through Clackamas County and goes through the fastest growing city in Clackamas County, which is Happy Valley, and into the area of Damascus. And so I ask you, you know, what your thoughts are on helping this project move forward for economic development and jobs in both Multnomah County and Clackamas County.
Yes, thank you for the question. So the Sunrise Corridor is crucial, right? It's also a way to connect community in my eyes. And to your point, Commissioner, yes, we absolutely need that in order to also continue the economic development that is so needed in the district. It is one of the keys and pathways for that development and to revitalize parts of the region that is, again, just sorely needed. And so I believe that the project is doing a lot in order to engage community and also make sure that we are bringing opinions to the forefront that matter most into the folks that are most impacted. Transportation is something that I've worked on in the past, and I want to make sure that we have safe, reliable transportation so folks can get to work, get to their place of religion, what have you. And I'm happy to work with you on that project and moving that forward. So thank you for the question.
Jose.
Yes, thank you. The Sunrise Corridor is important to this area. What I've seen over and over in working in my community is that East County and the more rural areas have gotten the short end of the stick when it comes to funding these big projects. And it's about time that we start reminding people of that and how it's an equity issue that we don't fund these projects. We are keeping rural areas poor and diverse communities poor by not funding these projects that bring economic development, bring infrastructure, bring more development. We have to tell everyone exactly by doing the engagement, engaging not only with our legislators, but with our community and showing them the importance of this project. That's how you move the needle. You get people to tell their legislators and other legislators how important this is to them. I've seen the power that we have when we engage our community to back a project, and we can get it done.
Thank you. Thank you, Jose. Terrence.
Yes. I think that, of course, we have to support any infrastructure build outs that bring jobs into community, especially in this district. One of the things I think we miss when we're talking about these projects is how we fund them. Keeping special interests out of these projects allow us to get them done in a practical way. As a person who is now helping and working on the development of the I-5 corridor project, I have a special view and a unique understanding of how to get these projects going, how to keep them going, and the things that stop them from going. When we look at the I-5 corridor project, we know we have a funding issue also. I understand where that came from. I understand that a lot of special interests peek in, they poke and they pry until these things don't get done. I would look at every build out transportation infrastructure. I would look at making sure that it is funded properly. And I have the lived experience to pull out those things that are not necessary and to focus on the jobs and opportunity that they provide to the community. I would make sure that these projects go. Thank you.
Thank you, Terrence. Commissioner Singleton, I hand it over to you. We're going to begin with Jose, then Terrence, then Lamar. Commissioner Singleton.
Thank you. Over this past legislative session, we saw significant reductions in some core safety net services from the state budget. And I'm curious how you all plan to work with community and county boards to understand the impacts of any further potential reductions and how to best leverage our local resources to ensure that our safety nets don't fall apart here at the local level.
Yes, and I've heard that over and over from a lot of different places. And one thing that I think that we could certainly do better, and I would want to, is have the level of communication between the state and the counties and the cities be more robust. If we work together, we can accomplish more. And it's easy to forget the impacts that a policy is having if you're not in constant communication. There's so many things on your plate that you need to have the right people at the table. I know that I don't have the answers to everything. So I will go to my community, I will go to my commissioners to get their perspective on a policy. My favorite thing is to get a policy and take it to someone who opposes it and find out where the pieces are that could be better. What can we can do to improve it? I know we have a revenue problem and we have to tackle that to make any of this work. So that's also a place where we have to work. But unless we all work together, we're not really going to get anything passed, or we're going to have to cut somewhere because that's the way everything is going.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Jose. Terrence.
Yeah, I think when it comes to public safety, we have to draw a clean line between the data and ideology. Commissioner, I think one of the biggest things we struggle with as we address public safety concerns in our communities is ideologies have for a long time determined and been contrary to clean data. We need to make sure that we're supporting first the programs we know without question that work. Legislators need somebody like myself that can bring passion and true understanding of public safety. Again, as a formerly incarcerated person, as a person who works in community daily with gun violence reduction, I can quickly identify, not just through the data, but through my lived experience, the things that don't work. I can challenge legislation from a lived experience position to make sure that we are investing in the things that do. I'm more than willing. I put my life into the space of public safety. I'm more than willing to work with our officers. I don't bring ideologies that keep leadership from sheriffs to public safety to DAs to our officers out of that table. Everybody that truly works from our fire department to PSR need to be at that table. They need to be conversating. Thank you.
Thank you. Lamar.
Yeah. And thank you for the question, Commissioner, because I saw that happen firsthand. So one program that, you know, something that I really believed in that got cut was rent assistance, right? And that is a crucial program that that residents of our district rely on, but also as a former board member of the Community Alliance of Tenants, this is an issue that I know impacts thousands and thousands of Oregonians statewide. It's very clear that we need a strong coalition and to really uplift the will of the voters. Voters in the region have voted for things like the housing services ballot measure and on the doors, I've heard time and time again where that houselessness and the rising cost of housing is a huge issue. And so I really want to make sure that we are building that strong coalition and bringing those voices forward. And I hope to do that with you as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Schrader. And again, we'll begin with Terrence and then go to Lamar and then close it out with Jose. Commissioner Schrader, floor is yours.
Thank you. I needed to unmute myself at this point. I have usually when we think of things like economic development, we think of things like businesses. How do we get them to, you know, be in our community to provide job, commerce, things of that sort. But one of the things we've been thinking about, not only here in Clackamas County, but nationally, is shifting that focus to individuals and families. And by that, I mean, how do we move people up the economic ladder so they can move from poverty to prosperity? What are some of the things that you would do policy-wise to help people move up the economic ladder to live prosperous, full lives and be good participants essentially in a democracy?
Thank you for that question. I would start by recognizing that historically families continue to grow as young people transition into adulthood. They would come in, they would work, they would help their family grow economically. So I get back to the need for workforce development in high school, especially our seniors, transitioning from high school into adulthood, having living wage jobs, and making sure that they can bring economics into their families. Secondly, I would say that we need affordability. When people can afford their rent, when rents are affordable, when food and community makes sense to go out and spend money, then people do better. Communities do better. So our children need to be prepared. Our community need to be safe and viable, something we spend money in. And then our adults that are striving through every day, barely making it, they need hope and they need policy and change and people at that level that's going to actually do the work and bring economics back into the community, bring private investors that provide jobs and opportunity for community members. Thank you.
Thank you. Lamar.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. First off, we need good jobs. And as a labor advocate, that's something that I've worked on tirelessly, is to make sure that we are improving wages and work conditions and retirement of working families. With that being said, I also think that we need revitalization projects, right? I want to work with organizations like Prosper Portland and really make sure that we are leveraging state dollars to revitalize areas to ensure that we're bringing in small businesses and also create community-based areas where folks can come together and be together in community. With that being said, I also think apprenticeships are a huge thing that we need to support. I've supported an apprenticeship program again through both behavioral health and healthcare, and we've seen folks be able to earn while they learn, get master's level degrees, be able to bill Medicaid at a higher rate, and actually bring more money into the state. So I want to continue to use my policy expertise to figure out how we can leverage the dollars that we do have and to maximize on investments and to better our communities.
Thank you. Jose.
Thank you. Of course, you know, you start with jobs. You want to support programs like the local iron workers. They have a program that helps people get into jobs, people that sometimes other places don't give a chance to get into thriving paid jobs, not just minimum wage, and do well. But beyond that, we've also seen that every dollar you spend on a poor family to try to help them is more than a dollar we get back in our economy. The reason that people get stuck in poverty forever is because we lend them a hand, and then as soon as they start doing a little bit better, we take that hand back. And we all know that a dollar more over that salary cap doesn't lift them out of poverty. So why are we yanking all the help that we give people away as soon as they reach that line? We really, really need to look at how we do means testing and helping so we can get the poorest of us and actually get them in a path to be successful, so then we could have them move on to where they're no longer in poverty. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to Commissioner Brem Edwards, and we'll begin with Lamar, then Jose, then Terrence. Commissioner Brem Edwards.
Thank you and good morning. So my question this morning is, first of all, I want to appreciate all three of you for taking time this weekend to have a conversation with me about the position, issues facing Multnomah County and the district, and just sort of what your approach is. And so this is going to be a repeat question, so you should be ready for it. Share a time that, given that you'll be going right into a short legislative session right away, share a time when you played a leadership role or a key supporting role in the passage of legislation or public policy.
And go ahead, Lamar.
Thanks, Commissioner. Just continue on in behavioral health. I was able to lead a coalition to make sure that we were, again, expanding access to behavioral health. This included not only making sure that we had dollars to make sure that workers were safe in the workplace, make sure that they were getting trained, but also creating a program that would create the apprenticeship program that I actually just talked about. And so I was super proud of that because I know that it is a crucial need of the state. And in talking with voters, it was something that was brought up time and time again. And I do believe that, you know, with those resources, we were able to do that expansion, but we're going to continue to do that work. And in addition to that, I was happy to also work alongside folks I see my time's up, so I'll just leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Lamar. Jose.
Thank you. As David Douglas School Board member, I sit on the policy committee, so I work on policy all the time. But I must say the one policy that I will say I'm the most proud of, and I think that I shepherded it most not by myself, I had help from like the assistant superintendent Tay, who's amazing. But we actually put immigration status, real or perceived, into our anti-discrimination policies for our school. At a time where we're seeing so many resolutions passed by school boards and municipalities saying that they stand by their immigrants, we wanted to do more than just have a resolution that we've been told actually doesn't hold legal weight. So I worked with the administration, with teachers, and talking to them. And we managed to beef up our policy to show students that we will not discriminate against students for any real perceived immigration issue. And now they can't be discriminated against either because our policy says they can't. That was important to me and for my community to do that.
Thank you. Terrence.
Yeah, the Justice Integrity Unit that was started by former District Attorney Mike Smith and is now continuing with our present District Attorney Nathan Vasquez is a byproduct of Senate Bill 819. I would argue that this was probably the greatest restorative justice and criminal justice reform legislation we've seen in our state. This bill allows presently incarcerated and formerly incarcerated men and women to get that look, that second look that we all know is needed to have honest and real conversations about people coming home, not doing more time. We know that the Black community has been disproportionately mishandled by the judicial system. And that bill, that legislation, helped balance the scales and give people an opportunity to come home. I am proud to have been a part of the lobbying and the conversation of that legislation, whether in the forefront or behind the scenes, leveraging my story and my lived experience to help that legislation passed, which we've seen support on both Democratic and Republican sides.
Thank you, Terrence. Commissioner Helm, the floor is yours. We'll start with Jose, then Terrence, then Lamar.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to meet all of you. I've heard from some of you and had the privilege to speak to you about some of these issues. I'm in Damascus. I think you guys know that. East Portland and North Clackamas have a lot of economic potential, but no two communities are the same. How would you advance economic initiatives in these communities while respecting their local preferences, especially in Damascus and Boring?
Thank you. Of course, the number one thing for me is listening. I am a listener by nature. I want to go into those communities and talk to them. I know that there's been pushback, especially in those communities near Damascus and Boring, around the development, their land, and how they want to be treated. And I know that you can't just treat everyone the same. As incoming OSBA president, the women that actually pushed me to run for president-elect and said I would do a good job were a woman from John Day, one from Ashland, because they saw in me that I can work with rural school boards to try to find that connection and that common ground. In education, it's easy to find common ground, but I don't think it's only in education. I think if we actually sit down and talk to each other and put partisanship aside, you can find ways to move an agenda forward, and everyone wants their community to be better and be more economic prosperity.
Great. Terrence.
Commissioner, thank you for that question. I would go back to, you know, like I know, in those areas, we're talking about folks that work in construction every day. When we have strong infrastructure projects going, not only in Portland, but in the outskirts of Portland, those individuals are able to pay their bills every day. They're able to take care of the land, because there's a lot of land. People still own homes with real acreage to it, but you have to be able to afford that. So when we have strong infrastructure, when people in construction is waking up and going to work every day, those areas benefit the most. I think we also see a really cool build out going on out there where because of the land and because of the space. I think we need to subsidize that. I think we need to make sure that with the housing shortage and crisis we are in Portland, that Damascus and those areas can help support that by developing and being able to build our homes. And we can support that at the legislative level through grants and through programs. Thank you.
All right, Lamar.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. It's no secret that we need to make sure that all parts of the district are being heard and listened to. And it's also no secret that we have very different parts to this district. With that being said, I really want to engage the community and meet them where they're at. I think that means having community engagement opportunities in Damascus, in Boring, and making sure that folks could have direct input over what economic initiatives that we should have. With that being said, I also think that we need to make sure that we're continuing to build out as well. I agree with what's been said earlier around affordable housing. That's something that's close to my heart as someone who was housing insecure at one point. We do need to make sure that we are creating opportunities for not only housing, but really uplifting what folks need as it relates to revitalizing areas that could be taken on by small businesses.
Okay, great, thank you. It's on to me. We'll start with Terrence, and then Lamar, and Jose. I have just a housing, homelessness, and supportive services question. And I will say I appreciated the last question from Commissioner Helm. That was great. I know when I had an opportunity to interview or chat with all of you, we talked a lot about compromise and how you would represent, you know, everyone within the districts, seeing that it's extremely diverse. I'm going to switch and ask a question around housing and homelessness. How will you help balance shelter goals versus budget cuts? What state influence should House District 48 carry, if any? And how would you measure the success at 6 and 12 months? And we will start with Terrence.
Thank you, Commissioner. I would like to first say that I think that if we can get community members, especially people that own homes, that are retired, that want to rent their homes, I think if we can get community members to buy into the benefit of renting their homes at cost, their rooms and things like that with government subsidy to our homeless community, especially immigrant and refugee families. If we can get community members to see the value in that and we can subsidize and support that, we'll see a quick reduction in families that are struggling with that. I think when we look at the whole district, again, I believe that when you look at Portland, most of our struggles trickle out into our district, especially in House District 48. If we can kind of get that homeless crisis, houses crisis in order in our district through making sure people
can buy homes and that they can afford it through good paying living wage jobs. We often talk about affordability. The data shows that we have a lot of empty apartments.
Thank you.
Time. People cannot afford them.
Thank you. Lamar.
Yes, thank you. And yeah, I think the issue that you're bringing up is absolutely right. Not only do we need to look at shelter policy, but we need to figure out all types of housing that can be expanded and ensure that we're making that available to the district. With that being said, from what I know from developers, what they've said that is that we really need to make sure that we are building building more and that we have the land to do so. So I really want to work with you all and other local elected leaders to figure that out and figure out what is the best land use policy to make affordable housing a reality. And to your question about how we measure that, I think we measure that by, you know, how many new units at 6 months and a year that have been built, how many folks that have been staved, make sure that we are working with agencies to collect data on how many folks that have been staved off from houselessness, and making sure that the rent assistance is a program that folks can actually access.
Thank you. Jose.
Yes, of course, we have to spur more housing production, like the construction revolving loan fund that just passed the legislature bipartisanly will be a way to that forward. But if we really want to tackle homelessness, we need to look at that as a problem more than just housing. We need to get them to long-term care. We need to talk about recovery. We need to talk about all the pieces that are making the houseless problem worse, and we need to tackle all of them. It's not just about one part of the puzzle. And if we focus, for instance, just on shelters, people will be in shelters forever. We need to be able to have avenues for them to get them into long-term housing, which does mean making sure there's appropriate housing available to move them into, which might mean that there's enough recovery beds, that there's recovery beds that they're able to be at for long enough to actually recover. There are a lot of pieces to this puzzle, and it's hard to have a 6 and 12 month, but seeing people take advantage of the program at those states would help.
Thank you, Jose. We'll move on to Commissioner West, and we'll start with Lamar, then go to Jose, and then Terrence. Commissioner West, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I just want to say I really appreciate private conversations I had with all of you. It's not easy to put yourself out there, and so thank you for being engaged and being a part of the solution here in Oregon as we tackle tough issues. I'll say this really quick. This district represents East Multnomah County and Clackamas County, specific North Clackamas County. Both those areas have been neglected by state leaders, and both those areas need a bold, strong, competent leader that's willing to advocate for a district that's ideologically very diverse. And so I hope that you all can step up to that occasion. So thank you for that. My question, I think, is an important one specifically for this region. Public safety continues to be a major concern in our shared communities. Very powerful special interest groups have worked to defund or divest from law enforcement in recent years. Will you keep our first responders, our police, and others, what will you do to keep our first responders, our police, and others, and prioritize the specific needs of this district? What will you do to keep them funded, and how will you prioritize those specific needs in this specific district?
Yes. Go ahead.
No worries. Thank you, Commissioner, for the question. And so first off, in my role in Oregon AFSCME, we represent a ton of different folks, including first responders, right? We represent folks who take calls and make sure that we're getting folks safety as quickly as possible. And in that is also making sure that we are fighting for the best contract possible, make sure that they have the resources that they need. That is crucial in making sure that we are that we're supporting our first responders. With that being said, again, would want to partner with you all to make sure that we are keeping our community safe. That takes everyone, right? It and all levels of of government to coordinate and to make sure that we are interplaying the needs of the district, whether that be behavioral health support services, right? Whether that means assistance for addiction. We need to make sure that we have the full gambit of resources available for the residents.
Time. Thank you. We'll go Jose and then Terrence.
Yes, safety is so important to our community. I see it in education all the time. If kids don't feel safe, they're not gonna study, they're not gonna learn. So we know that we need to focus and make sure that it's properly funded. Right now, there is a problem with getting people in those positions, at least here, and we need to work on that. We need to change the rhetoric around police, and we can do that by having the right people do the right job. There is a time and a place for police, and they're being asked to do so many things. So we need to fund all first responders, not just police, but something like Portland Street Response, and farther, we have to fund emergency services better. We need to fund all the pieces so that everyone could do their job properly and change the rhetoric around community. We've already seen that start to happen because the police has really come out in droves and helping our immigrant communities and the protesters. So we've seen that going, and we need to continue on that path.
Thank you. Thank you, Jose. Terrence.
Thank you for that question, Commissioner. I was endorsed by our fire and our police. So the first thing I'll do in that conversation is go to that leadership and talk about their needs. And then I will make fiscally responsible decisions about meeting those needs. I do not bring ideology into this conversation. And that's what separates me. I'll make sure that we're actually looking at the whole picture for our officers and for our fire, for PSR and anybody that has to show up in those tough situations, and make sure that they have the funding that they need to do the job while simultaneously making sure that it's fiscally responsible and not just throwing our money out. But defunding was a horrific decision. Like Commissioner Vincent always says, we should have defined what we wanted from our police officers, not defunded them. Thank you.
In East County, we did just that. We defined what we were asking our officers to do and provided direction. And I'm proud of our police department in Gresham. So I'm going to move on to Commissioner Vega Peterson. We'll start with Jose, and then Terrence, and then Lamar.
Great, thank you. So I think for the first time in my career as an elected official, we are seeing a federal government who is actively working against, some of the services and programs that are vital to our communities. These are having impacts in all sorts of communities, not just urban, but rural. And the degree to which these impacts are happening are something that's outside the scale of the state government, let alone local governments, and yet we still are going to have to respond to them. So my question is, how will you as a state representative work with your local governments to mitigate the harm to communities from federal government and not pit services together, but knowing that there's not enough resources, what are some of the services that you would prioritize?
Thank you. And first of all, thank you for all the work you've all done in uplifting these issues recently. This is a very hard conversation because especially since we're tackling low revenue years and we're having funding cut from federal level on all different places, we're going to have to prioritize. But at the end of the day, people need to eat. So we need to work together, not just state and county, but work with organizations. We've seen an outpouring from the community when these things are happening. We've seen restaurants, food banks. There's been so much love that's being shown when these hard things are happening. And we need to work together to keep doing that. Keep making sure our families are fed, our workers have jobs. It is disingenuous to just say that we're going to be able to fund everything. So we do need to come up with a new revenue model for a state. I know I've mentioned that, but unless we find a way to do better as a state, maybe even look at the kicker. We need to just do something new and creative to be able to tackle these hard issues.
Great. Thank you. Terrence.
Thank you, Chair, for that question. Again, my answers are very practical. One, I think that we need to make sure that during the time where the federal government is putting our community members at risk, that we are supplying their needs, whether that's housing, food, work, or whatever that may be. But in a real way, I do believe that we can do two unique things. One, we can get community buy-in and making sure that community feels that it's important to be a part of this conversation and the results of it, meaning they can answer by opening up their rooms. And then I think we have to get private. We have a lot of big, amazing companies. We have pitted our community against private companies. And I think we have to deal with the narrative that will bring, or that keeps them out, but we have to bring private investors and these big companies like Fred Meyers and Walmart back to the conversation to support community members. These are the same community members that help fund their companies and buy their resources. So we have to bring them into the conversation. We have to challenge them to use their resources to support these community members. Thank you.
Thank you. Lamar.
Yeah. First off, I'm already working with a larger coalition in order to address our budget crisis. It will involve a larger campaign, but what I do know is that, you know, raising taxes isn't popular, and so we need to really look at other options. Oregon has very large reserves right now. We have about $3.5 billion in reserves. I think that it would be prudent to use those reserves in a way that is strategic, right? So, and knowing that we are looking at a $15.1 billion, a federal hole for the next 6 years, I want to make sure that we are clawing back as much federal funding as possible by staffing up our agencies to get down our error rate for SNAP, and to also make sure that we are staffing up OHA and DHS so that we are doing the proper verifications. So that folks who may be getting rolled off of Medicaid actually stay on because of the additional assistance that we could provide with to them.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will move on to Chair Roberts, and again we'll go with Jose, Terrence, and then Lamar. But you're on mute, Chair Roberts, if you're speaking.
There we go.
You hit the button twice. Just one more time. Third time's a charm.
All right. There we go, finally. My apologies for that. My question is, you get two bills in the short session, and how will you choose your two bills amongst so many really competing interests? Or what two bills would you introduce to address the needs in this district?
Thank you. For this, when everyone's so limited, I think that's when communication is the most key. And I keep going back to that because that's how I operate. I like to talk with people. If you're so limited, you have to know what other people are doing, what they're presenting, and fill the holes. One thing that is very important to me, and I know I am my own person, but this is also the rest of Representative Hua Wen's term. So it is vitally important for me to work with her Chief of Staff, Sarah, and find out what were the things that Rep. Wynn was working on that were important to her, that we could see if anyone else is taking up that mantle. If not, I would try to get that over the finish line. That is very important to me. We are values aligned in many ways and have similar passions, so I don't think it would have been a stretch. I probably would have championed similar things myself, but I recognize this is not my term. It's Representative Wynn's term, so I would finish it strongly there. And again, there are things that need to be talked about that I keep going back to, like revenue, but if no one's doing it, I don't like it.
Thank you. Terrence.
Yeah, so
y'all forgive me, but there's a House bill right now that's being fought for that focuses on reentry for formerly incarcerated people. That would be a number one priority for me. Knowing the importance of supporting people as they come back into community has to be an essential part of the character of legislation. Again, we have lost that. So forgive me for not remembering this House bill, but that would be one of the first things I champion. And then I will make sure that we get funding back into services for people, into addictive services. I asked my mom, why does she get high? And my mom a drug addict, she said she liked to. I said, well, why when you're trying to get sober, don't you stay sober? She said, because there's no support. When I go to Hooper, they don't let me in. And even when I get in, there's no long-term support. We have to support people that's getting off of drugs. We have to holistically support them. And I believe that that has to start at high-level funding at the state level. Thank you.
Thank you, Terrence. Lamar.
Yeah, so first off, you know, would definitely engage the community and members of the residents of House District 48 to make sure that we're crafting policies that would put them first. From just what I could gather, folks are scared in terms of you know, their status. So I definitely want to make sure that I'm working with the immigrant community to ensure that if there's any structural things that we could be doing to our policies to ensure that privacy is maintained for all residents, that's something that I would like to prioritize for sure. And then beyond that, I also want to make sure that we, again, are having something that is targeted to economic development, whether that be leveraging state dollars to make sure that we are revitalizing parts of the district. That's something that would be crucial to the district and making sure that we are prioritizing areas that could really be bringing in small businesses.
Thank you, Lamar, and thank you all for thank you, commissioners, for the thoughtful questions and also the responses from all of the candidates. Just going to do another time check here. It looks like we're going to be a little over. We have two. I want to ensure that you guys have, or the candidates have, time to just collect their thoughts. So I want to just get a straw poll as far as whether we should continue. It looks like we have probably another 15 minutes, or if we should take a quick 3-minute break.
I think we should continue.
Okay.
I support continuing.
All right.
Me as well.
Okay. All right. We will move forward with the meeting. Again, thank you all for your thoughtful responses. We will now move to closing statements. The nominees will each have 2 minutes to make a closing statement. We will continue rotating the order. We'll begin with Lamar, then move to Jose, and then end with Terrence Hayes. Thank you.
Hey. So thank you for the thoughtful questions. It's clear that we have a lot of work to do in a short period of time. Whether it's making good on our promise to voters to improve our behavioral health system or staving off deep cuts to our communities, we will need an experienced leader to advocate for the voices of our district. As the state representative for House District 48, I will commit to taking into account all parts of the district, no matter how red or blue, rural or urban, we must come together. At a time where our communities are being attacked by ICE and fending off economic chaos from DC, we have the responsibility to build our own path and protect each other. We do that by listening to one another and putting our residents first. From my time knocking doors in this district, one thing that I've heard over and over again is the issue of affordability. Let me be clear, now is not the time to abandon working families. It's actually time to fight for folks who are living paycheck to paycheck. This is why my office will be relentless in making sure to protect our core services and to make sure that our tax dollars are being used effectively. Our office will hold agencies accountable to the outcomes that the public expects. My experiences have motivated me to demand for better. In my career, I've learned to meet communities where they're at and work together to achieve tangible goals. This is why I've led statewide coalitions to address critical issues, including income inequality and increasing education funding. And before closing, I want to say that Representative Hua Nguyen was a model leader who gave every bit of herself to this work. She connected our community, and she was a fierce advocate for our needs. To me, Hua was the definition of strength. My hope is to honor her and the amazing work that she did, and hope that we can do so together. Thank you.
Thank you, Lamar. Jose.
Thank you. We've talked about a lot of different things today and about the much difficult path that we have in front of us, and it's getting increasingly difficult. I think at times like this, it's so important for us to all be able to work together. And I am the leader that has experience doing that. There's been a lot of talk about experience, but I am the only one who has experience with elected office, working with constituents, crafting policy as an elected official, as a school board member. And then I got elected by school board members to sit on the Oregon School Boards Association, where we also are in public meetings, crafting policy, weighing these decisions. So I may not have worked with a state legislator, but I have experience as a school board member, and many school board members go on to become state legislator because it is the path that many take. And I never expected that to be the path for me, but I decided to go for this because I heard from community members from all walks of life, all different parts of HD 48 and beyond. And you heard from some of them today in the testimony, and I hope some of them wrote to you. The outpouring of support from my community to support me in going for this appointment has been incredible, overwhelming, and it's the only reason I am doing this. I do this for community. When you come to East Portland and you go to a town hall, I am there, not because I'm planning on running for something in the future. 10 years ago, I couldn't vote. I'm an immigrant. If you told me 10 years ago that this is where I'd be today, I wouldn't have believed you. This was not in my plan. I'm a gay, disabled Latino immigrant with like a four-year-old. This was not something I was planning to do, but my community said, we need you to do this at this moment. And when your community asks so loudly, you step up. So I'm stepping up. I thank my community for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you, Jose. Terrence.
Thank you. House District 48 has been screaming for a champion that actually take their needs and their desires into account at the legislative level. I have been a person who always listened to East Portland because that's where I live. I listen to their cry for public safety. I listen to their cry for healthy and accountable policing. So I worked with officers. I listen to their cry for gun violence reduction. So I worked with the city of Portland to help reduce gun violence. I listen to their cries for resources. So I fought to make sure that our not-for-profits have the resources they need to do the work. We are at a point where ideology has to take a back seat to the practical needs of this district. At the end of the day, I am the only candidate that is not obligated or stuck or can be demanded to vote or move a certain way. I am the only candidate that can truly take into accountability or into account the needs of this district holistically, whether you're Democratic, Independent, or Republican. I have no reason not to hear you out, to be present and to listen to you. That's what separates me, and I hope that's enough for you guys to consider that need. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all three of you, for just your closing statements and going through this very public process. We are going to move to the next portion of our meeting, which is the deliberation amongst the two boards. As a reminder, for deliberation, each commissioner will have a brief opportunity to make statements regarding the candidates. After everyone has had a chance to speak, I will call for a roll call vote in accordance with ORS 171.062, and based on the number of registered electors. Again, as mentioned, each Clackamas County Commissioner is allotted 2.6 votes, and each Multnomah County Commissioner is allotted 6.8 votes. Looks like all of us are here, do we have any questions regarding just the deliberation? Okay. And, oh, go ahead.
So we're all speaking and then voting?
Not. Yeah.
Okay. So don't vote, just speak.
Correct. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Yes.
And we will begin with you, Commissioner Moyer, to lead by example.
Oh, you three make this very, very hard. I've never liked three candidates so much in any race, frankly. There are issues I would love to work with all three of you on. I think that you have tremendous things to offer. I also pity the person who gets this appointment because cutting budgets is a really, really awful thing to have to do. And the state budget is an opaque labyrinth. And making strategic decisions to do the least harm is deeply thankless and often heart-wrenching. I have really struggled with this decision, and because I have enjoyed speaking with all three candidates and really saw tremendous potential in all three and hope to work with all three. But ultimately, I am falling on who do I think has a track record of working in this environment on behalf of working people. And to be totally transparent, who have I personally had the opportunity to work with on numerous issues that I think were incredibly important to Oregonians. So while I think that this group of commissioners has such an abundance of quality choice here, I really, really am taking into account both the values of Representative Hua Wen, as well as the people of House District 48, and the very, very difficult challenge that I believe the next 2 to 3 sessions are going to put on Oregon, with I think no chance of federal help. And so, that is why I just have to go with somebody that I've had the opportunity to work with and know is ready for this, which is Lamar Wise.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Moyer. Commissioner Savas, any remarks?
I want to just thank all of the three applicants for putting themselves forward. It's a tough thing to do, and congratulations on getting to this point and being nominated by PCPAs to be here today. I come from a place, I've been in my community for over 40 some odd years, and I've been in public, engaged with the public for 28 years. When I say engaged, I went all in, and so I understand how hard it is, but more importantly, how effective it is to know your community. There's nothing more powerful than being engaged and knowing your community. I've been engaged in my community for 28 years, and I understand the power of that in the sense that you understand, you can relate, you can empathize with underserved, underrepresented communities. District 48 is one of those underrepresented communities that needs a lot of help and needs a lift. So that I understand. I also put a lot of weight into the questions and the responses to those questions. So I appreciate my fellow colleagues, the commissioners who asked the questions, and I put a lot of gravity on the responses and how accurate those were. Tenure, lived experience, you all express passion, and you all have unique skill sets. This is going to be a tough call, but I do want to say thank you, and I also want to again try to represent as much as I can or think who could best fill the shoes of Hua Wen. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Savas. Commissioner Singleton.
Thank you. I think you're going to hear a lot of us say, gosh, what a hard decision, and how amazing for this district to have these three leaders, regardless of the outcome of this. I know each of you will continue to work to support and uplift this community. I've had the pleasure of working with a number of you since you answered the call to serve Justice Council when I was eight. I know how committed all of you are to community and to addressing the current impacts that we see, particularly for Black and Brown folks and people stuck in poverty in this district. So I too am struggling with a hard. I do appreciate the work that you date, that I know that you do, for the work that this process is really fascinating, and it seems like you all made yourselves available to all of us to have conversations. So thank you for doing that in quick turn. And I too will be leaning towards who I think can really hit the ground running and looking at a short session where I expect we'll see further reductions in the budget and not really a lot of opportunities to build new things. So I'm looking for the person who I think has the ability to do that in Salem in just a few months here. So thank you so much for your time. And I look forward to the vote here in a moment.
Great. Commissioner Schrader.
Well, there's no doubt that filling the shoes of Wawen is going to be a tough choice. We have three wonderfully qualified people here who are, none of them are strangers to public service. And when I think of Wawen, I think of a great heart. And I think all the gentlemen that we are seeing here today, we're speaking with, and we've all done outreach to me, so thank you for that. You all have great hearts. Jose, your heart is as big as as big as it can be. I can see that in you. And Lamar, you're an organizer. You like to make things happen. And you get workforce. I like hearing that. And Terrence, what I enjoyed most about talking to you is you have this attitude that I call not left, not right, but forward. And so you seem to have an idea that what we need to do, despite political divides and the polarization that we are now facing in our country today, we also need the peacemakers who put that aside and have their eye on the prize of moving forward with decent and wonderful and good policy for our citizens and our constituents. So as I said, I'm going to be looking forward to, well, maybe not looking forward to this decision. This is a tough one, but I do want to thank all of you for stepping up to the plate. I really don't think that there is any wrong choice here. I think any one of you has the skill set to move into this position very quickly and do the job. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Schrader. Commissioner Brim Edwards.
Thank you. I want to join the fellow commissioners who have spoken already to just thank the three candidates for your interest in this position and your willingness to consider to serve if you're appointed. Having been married to a legislator, I know your life is about ready to be turned upside down if you are appointed, but in a really good way, because you'll be able to take action on behalf of the community. I also want to just recognize all the individuals who either provided public comment this morning or wrote to us. Jose, Lamar, and Terrence, you should all know that you have lots of fans, and we heard from them all. So really appreciate the community weighing in and sharing sort of their enthusiasm for the three candidates, which I think is really reflected in the fact that the precinct people forwarded candidates that have community support in different ways. So just briefly, I think each candidate brings different expertise, diverse relationships, lived experience, and approaches to this work. And in different ways, I'm impressed with each of your potential passion and qualifications. Given the timing, having worked for the legislature and also having been married to a legislator, I know that the timing of this appointment is going to make things very challenging for whoever gets the appointment. It's going to be a quick turn. In order to be able to effectively serve the district. And then combine that with a slowing Oregon economy, national impacts related to the Trump administration. This next legislative session is going to be a bear, and it's going to have huge implications for communities and our counties with the biggest challenges we're facing, whether it's homelessness and housing production, behavioral health services, public safety, and also ensuring that we continue to have a thriving economy. So from my perspective, like, I'm gonna look at who can best like fit that role and be ready to go. I also just want to share that I don't think our role is to decide who's best prepared to face the next re-election. This region will need an effective legislator in the short legislative session, and I think an effective legislator who represents the district is going to be best positioned in the next election, but I don't think that's our job to decide who is going to be best positioned. So again, thank the candidates for your commitment. I know each one of you, no matter what happens today, are going to be leaders for our community, and I really appreciate the work that you've done and I know you're going to do in the future.
Thank you, Commissioner Brim Edwards. Commissioner Helm.
Thank you, and thank you to all the candidates today. I just went through an appointment process myself recently. I know it's a little bit scary, and I have mad respect for you for putting your name in the hat, because you're stepping into some really big shoes, and I appreciate that. As I closed my business last year here in Damascus after 18 years, just in the nick of time with all the tariffs and everything. But one of the things that I learned after hiring many, many years, people over the years, was the people that I hired, the underdogs, always came in as the hardest workers with the most to prove and the most to gain. And they were my very best employees. And I kind of look at this too as a rooting for the underdog in our community. Our House District 48 has been underserved for many years. And I'm a small town girl. I still live in a small town. And I want someone who really represents us out here in our rural communities. I firmly agree that we have to put our ideologies aside. I am not affiliated with a party for many reasons, but like Commissioner Schrader said, you know, not left, not right, but forward. When I hear the term, people say, I cross the aisle. I don't have to cross an aisle. I'm standing in the aisle, you know, and I think we really need to move forward with the it's best for everyone attitude. I agree also with Commissioner Savas that being engaged in your community is hugely important. And I just want to say I appreciate all of the people who've chimed in today. I enjoyed all of the answers to the questions. I thank you all for letting me be a part of this. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Helm. Just to build off of what everyone has said, I know this is a tall task. I too went through an appointment process back in 2020. And you all did great. I appreciated hearing the responses, the thoughtful responses on the spot to the questions that we asked, and then also hearing directly from a lot of, as I believe it was Commissioner Ramirez mentioned, you all have a lot of fans and supporters. The question that I've brought up to all of you is just like, how are you going to be an extension of the district, and what will you be able to champion and get complete or get done for us collectively? Those are some of the things that are weaving into the decision that we have to make here shortly. And again, it's an extremely difficult decision based off of, because each of you bring something different, and you all three of you are strong champions for our community. So thank you again for taking the time this morning. I'm going to pass it to Commissioner West.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. This isn't easy. Public service isn't easy. But thank you for jumping into the arena, all three of you. I had wonderful conversations with. Thank you for taking my tough questions. I hope they were a little bit outside the norm and kind of maybe challenged your thought process. And so I appreciate very robust and interesting dialogue with all three of you. So thank you for that. I do have a concern, though, that I think is important to bring up. At least everybody on the Board of Clackamas County Commissioners, especially Commissioner Savas and Commissioner Schrader, have literally lived in Clackamas County and been a part of that community serving for decades, even before they were on the Board of County Commissioners. Diane Helm has lived in the eastern part of the east side of the county, North Clackamas area, for many, many years, raised her family there. I've been in the Wilsonville area for quite a long time, serving in different capacities. I know that Chair Roberts coached teams and worked in youth sports and served as the sheriff. We are all very serious about being committed to our neighbors. And I am concerned that one of the candidates, as of just a few months ago, championed that he was all about Hillsborough. He wanted to make sure that he was all in for Washington County. It seems to pop in and out of different appointment opportunities based on what the special interest groups want him to apply for. And I appreciate making that effort to jump into this, but my vote will be definitely weighed on who is most likely going to represent not a special interest group or popping in at the last minute to find residency. It's going to be who's going to serve their neighbor. The government closest to the people impacts their life the most. And right now I am going to be making a decision between Jose and Terrence, because not only does Terrence own a business in this district, but is committed to doing the work where he lives, but he also has built great relationships. And I think that he won't forget Clackamas County if he sits in the seat, that he'll see the district as a whole and represent two areas that have been underrepresented in a way that they haven't got resources or the equity of opportunities that we wish they would. And I think that Commissioner Dixon, you need a good partner in 48. And we need a really great partner in Clackamas County on that side. And so the two individuals that are most connected to their community, when they use that word community a lot, and I see it in their actions to me, it does go between those two candidates. And Lamar, I really appreciate you putting your name in, and I do appreciate the conversation. I just don't think you have the same investment to the neighbors you'll be serving. You're going to have more an investment to a special interest group that helped you try to go through this appointment process. That's impacting my decision today. And also, how can I represent my constituents the best? Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner West, Chair Vega Peterson, and then Chair Roberts.
Yeah, thank you. I have some comments. I did just want to respond though to Commissioner West, because I don't know that we can perceive anybody's motives. But in terms of the residency, so the Democratic Party of Oregon is required under Oregon statute to provide us as county commissioners with qualified candidates, emphasis on qualified, to serve in this position. And the letter that the DPO sent to counties and to the Secretary of State references providing three eligible nominees. So I just wanted to just make it clear that there wasn't any question about eligibility and residency or anything like that based on the documentation that was provided to all of us as people who have to consider that this decision today. So that being said, I do want to really just thank all three candidates for coming forward. This is a hard decision. I really do feel that House District 48 would be well served by any of you. I also want to thank the members of the public who weighed in on this. Lots of voices were added to this discussion. I want to thank that. We do have three amazing candidates who each have deep ties to the community and working people in different ways, and I really appreciate that. I will say that for me in making the decision, I really think that this is a dire time in our country, in this district, in our county, in our state, because of what's happening both at the federal level and with our with the budgets, and of course because of the huge need within our communities. And so I'm looking at who is going to be most effective in representing House District 48 with both the ties to the community, the effectiveness that I think they can have within their caucus and within the legislature as a whole. And who's going to be able to really channel that into uplifting the people of House District 48 and our counties and the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Roberts. Chair Roberts.
There we go. Wow, this is difficult. And I think I want to start off by just thanking all the public input. I think there was close to 80 submissions. We had about 13 people online today. And just want to thank the public for contributing their thoughts on this position. The one thing I just want to point out that what I believe makes it so difficult is I can see the heart and passion in each and every candidate we have here today. And what I listen intently for is really the comments about bringing people together, because I think now more than ever, it's essential to bring people together to solve these complex issues. I know one of our colleagues talked about tough decisions on budgets. That they are not fun to make reductions, and we have a lot of tough decisions, and I think that's very important, and bringing people together to kind of help identify where we need to make those steps. So I saw that really in each candidate talking about bringing people together. And kind of the last thing that really, I'll be honest with you, personally impacted me is each candidate had what I felt was direct life experiences that really can cause individuals to really work hard to make change. And that was, I heard, Karen's talking about a mother who's addicted and having to deal with that. Her discussion about being and using SNAP funds and also some immigration concerns. So I saw that in each and every candidate that I do value of, first of all, having the courage to talk about that. And then also I believe wholeheartedly that also inspires us to work harder to make that change, knowing that individuals have lived in that space. So with that, I just want to thank each of the candidates for having the ability to be truthful and forthright and talking about some of their life experiences. And I think we all have some real difficult decisions to make. And again, thank you all for stepping up to put your name in.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Roberts and Chair Vega Peterson, for closing us out. And thank you all, commissioners, for your thoughtful comments and remarks. We will now move on to the roll call vote. Tasia, if you could bring up the spreadsheet and I'll read through my notes here. I would like to take a preliminary poll of the commissioners to see if any of the three nominees has the required plurality of support. We will proceed in order of commissioner position number, with the exception of the chair of Clackamas County, who will vote second to last, followed by Chair Vega Peterson, who serves at large and does not have a position number. If you choose to make an additional statement prior to your vote, please end your statement with I will cast my vote for, please. Tasia, can you walk us through the roll call vote, please?
Chair Jones-Dixon, can I ask a question?
Please.
I guess, isn't this just the actual vote, not a preliminary vote?
Yeah, it's the actual vote. Thank you.
Right. And whoever actually gets the majority of the votes, not, or the most votes, not necessarily a majority based on this roll call.
Correct.
Okay, thanks. Yes, I just wanted to clarify.
I appreciate that clarification. Any additional questions before we move forward with the roll call vote? Feel free to jump in. If not, Deja, we're in your hands. Thanks. Oh, Chair. Go ahead, Tasia.
Commissioner Moyer.
Lamar Wise.
Commissioner Savas.
Terrence Hayes.
Commissioner Singleton.
Lamar Wise.
Commissioner Schrader. Commissioner Schrader? I'll come back to you. Commissioner Brim Edwards?
I think we should maintain the order. So is
Commissioner Schrader not? I just unmuted myself. I'm sorry about that. I didn't realize I was muted. Terrence Hayes.
Commissioner Brim Edwards?
Lamar Wise.
Sorry, I put the wrong number down. Commissioner Helm?
I cast my vote for Terrence Hayes.
Commissioner Jones-Dixon?
I cast my vote for Jose.
Commissioner West?
I cast my vote for Terrence Hayes.
Commissioner or Chair Vega Peterson?
Thank you. I cast my vote for Lamar Wise.
And Chair Roberts?
I cast my vote for Terrence Hayes.
It appears we do have a plurality for an individual nominee. We can move to the final vote. Tasia, please read SC1.
SC1, filling a vacancy in the Legislative Assembly, Oregon House of Representatives, District 48.
May I have a motion to appoint Lamar Wise to the vacancy in the Legislative Assembly, Oregon House of Representatives, District 48.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Chair Bigot Peterson moves. Commissioner Moyer seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Just a point of order, Jenny Madcourt. We have to go through this process. Is that correct, or do we?
We've started the process, and so I think we can just carry forward through it. I think we have a clear record, but just we're going to put on a belt and suspenders here. So you've asked for the aye votes. We heard several, and maybe you can ask for any opposition and go from there.
Thank you. Any opposed? Great. Looks like the motion carries unanimously and the appointment is approved. Congratulations, Representative Wise. You are invited to speak for 2 minutes as the newly appointed representative for House District 48. And thank you all for your time this afternoon.
Thank you. And I'm struggling a little bit because, it's a terrible position to be in terms of the reason why we're here. And so this is bittersweet because Representative Wynn should be here. And so, I will commit to working with you all to move her legacy forward because that's what matters to me.
Take another moment. Thank you and congratulations again. Again, as we all know, those are pretty rep wins. Shoes are extremely big shoes to fill. And congratulations again, Representative Wise. We're here to support. Thank you all, commissioners, for your time this afternoon and bearing with us as we work through everything. That concludes today's meeting. There being no further business, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Take care.
Sorry.